And we're live.
Hey guys, and welcome to the first podcast of Masters of the Galaxy podcast. I'm Brian Ozone, along with Joe Amato and Michael Jenkins. What's going up? What's going on, guys? How are you?
Doing good, doing pretty well. Yep,
good,
all
good,
good.
good. Very good. So, being that this is our first podcast, why don't we introduce ourselves and let people know a little bit about us? And I guess I'll just go first and say that my name is Brian Ozone, and I get ozone from actually Ozone Park from where I'm born. And it's also a song from Ace Frehley. So that's where I get my alter ego name from. And I'm an avid Masters of the Universe collector. I've been a collector since practically the inception. And I have hundreds and thousands of pieces and whatnot of Masters of the Universe and She-Ra and Pop and stuff like that.
You have a collecting problem?
I do have a
Yeah.
collecting problem. I'm a
Yeah, you have an addiction, major addiction.
I need to go to Collectors Anonymous. So that's a little bit about me. And who wants to go next?
Ahead, Michael.
My name's Mike Jenkins. I am a lifetime Masters of the Universe collector, Princess of Power, New Adventures collector. I'm here in St. Petersburg, Florida. And I'm very thankful that Joe and Brian have brought me onto the show. I guess you can find me as Mike and Murr in some places, but for the most part, I'm the admin on celebrating Princess of Power or celebrating POP on Facebook and Last Gate of Etheria on Facebook, just trying to bring some POP love to the world. So
Oh, there you go.
that's my lot in life.
Well, I got a question for you. When you just said you're a lifelong fan, and just like me and Brian, of course, too, and you do mention New Adventures. Now, I'm curious because, as for me, I didn't start collecting New Adventures until, I don't know, when the internet came around and eBay came around, until I started saying, you know what, these figures are kind of, they're pretty cool. But as a kid, I hated them. But what
No,
about
I'm with
you?
you with that.
Yeah.
I did not have New Adventures figures as a kid, but I desperately wanted them. Same
Oh,
thing
so
with.
you did know of them. You knew of them as a
Oh,
kid, not.
God. I watched the show and I really wanted the figures. I drooled over them and I just, I was. Me
Did
Go
you
ahead.
actually did you actually like the show when it came out?
I was a bit put off by it, but, I watched it and, it was after the Dolph Lundgren film came out. And for me, it was just like, okay, this is what happens next. Because by that point, the She-Ra show was off the air. The 1987 live action film had come and gone, and this was the only new He-Man thing there was. So I was just going to take whatever I could get,
Okay.
So it was like G.I. Joe, futuristic G.I. Joe mixed in with Masters of the Universe. So it wasn't the good old stuff, but I made it work. And I started getting the figures. It's been like 2 or 3 years since I started getting the New Adventures figures. So,
Oh, so that was real
Oh,
recent. Okay.
so you're
Yeah.
2 or 3 years from now. So recently, you've only been collecting the figures.
Right. Like I always
Okay.
wanted them as a kid, and you grow up and you go back and you get the stuff that you always wanted as a kid, but
Right.
your mother's like, you're not getting that. You're too old. So it's like, well, screw it. I guess I won't get it. But now, as
Right.
an adult, I can get whatever I want,
There you go. Buy everything possible.
Yes. Yeah.
Hey, join me in Collectors Anonymous. Right.
I'm not as bad as you. I've heard your stories. I'm not that bad.
All right, Joe, give a little backstory about you, brother.
Oh, me, I'm Joe Amato. I've been a lifelong Masters of the Universe fan too. Grew up watching, you know, the cartoon, the She-Ra cartoon. As for New Adventures, I didn't even know there was a cartoon, again, until the internet came around. I just thought they made really weird toys back then that weren't He-Man, so I didn't want them, and I had a grudge against them. As an adult, I find out all the stuff like, oh, God, there was a cartoon. Just wasn't aired wherever I grew up. And like I said, I learned to enjoy and accept it for, you know, what it is now. Back then, it was quite different. But, well, that's that part. And I make custom action figures for a living, and as for my regular Facebook page of Joe Amato, I know I don't have a He-Man website, but kind of my own personal pages, I consider it a He-Man page, because all I do is basically post about Masters of the Universe. If I find any strange, unusual art or something, I love sharing anything I can, especially if it's parts of my collection or something, and something I don't see too often. I just try to share the love.
And you got some good stuff too in your collection. You really do. So you got some really good art that hasn't been shown since, you know, from back in the day, which is really cool.
Yeah, and a lot of it sometimes people have never seen. And usually the things I have, it is from my personal collection from when I was a kid, because I don't actually collect as much nowadays. I kind of just don't have the money for it to begin with. But I just, my pieces are vintage. So, I mean, vintage of mine, because some people say, Jesus, Joe, you paid a lot of money. I was like, no, I didn't pay a lot of money. That was when, you know, I got Christmas gifts and birthday gifts, and I just kept them.
I just believe it's crazy how you actually saved all your stuff since a kid. Like, my mom threw all my stuff out. Like, I had to restart collecting years ago, and it's sad because, you know, I had so many things. Like, I had two cousins that actually gave me two full sets. So I basically had three entire sets of Masters of the Universe action figures and, you know, playsets and vehicles and whatnot. So my mom threw all that out. My Thundercats, everything you think of, she got rid of, you know, throughout the years. My sister had all the She-Ra stuff, and, you know, she threw all that stuff out. You know, I got into something else, and my sister got into something else. You know, she would throw out something that we didn't play with, you know, and it, I told her, you know, it's a bad thing. One day that might be worth money, and, you know.
She didn't believe you.
No, she didn't. She definitely didn't.
But, yeah, the reason I guess I was able to keep mine is because I mean, it was not just pack ratting, but protecting whatever you could get, you know.
Right.
We didn't because we didn't have much growing up. So if you just got one figure, you got one figure. If it broke, there was no, hey, Mom, Dad, can you go buy me another one? That's all you could get, because that's all we could afford. And my brother, he was always blowing up his G.I. Joes and other figures. So I used to have to hide my figures, safeguard them. And then eventually my dad built shelves to put my figures up on a wall to make sure they're always going to be there. And if something came up missing, he'd know to go find my brother. So that's how all my collection basically, it stayed with me. Every piece from, like, when I would cut the card back art from the back of the figures and keep it, I pack ratted everything. So that's how
it's astonishing that you did do that. I mean,
as a kid, you know.
Yeah, I mean, it's crazy. Like, and the fact that you still own all this stuff from childhood is great. I mean, like I said, a lot of people, you know, they haven't done that. You know, they throughout the years, you know, either their parents threw the stuff out, or, you know, it just got lost in you know, just getting tossed in the trash.
Right.
I was lucky because my mother herself is a pack rat. So, you know, anything that she would buy for me, she wouldn't touch it. You know, it's my responsibility whether, you know, if I'm going to throw it out, I'll throw it out, but she wouldn't touch my stuff. So I was able to, she either put it up in her attic, which I think she's still, I haven't been in my house. I'm 39 and I moved out. I moved out of my house when I was 19. So wow. I think she still has my Castle Grayskull.
Oh, cool.
Up in that attic somewhere.
That'd be nice to pull out.
Yeah, but I've never like, I'm over there almost every weekend, and I've never gone up in the attic to pull it out, because I got another Castle Grayskull just to
Next week's mission, Michael's going to go to his mom's house. Yeah. He's going to go in the attic. He's going to find Grayskull and some hidden pieces of like cool art and some old books and things that are in perfect condition.
Imagine that. Imagine all the stuff you find. That would be crazy.
No.
You'll have a Joe Amato collection that you don't even know of.
No, I'd never save the boxes or any of the card backs or anything like that. I throw all that stuff out.
What about coloring books? You might have some coloring books. You might have some story books. Yeah. You might have something.
All the scribbling I did, I threw those out. No.
Those are pieces of art.
I do have some of the golden books. I do have those.
Yeah, oh, they're great.
In my library on the shelves.
See.
But like that big giant Who's Who. It has Snake Mountain on the cover. I still have that one.
Yeah, those are pretty cool. The golden ones. Yeah. Those giant ones.
Yeah. Oh yeah, I never got the heroic one. I always wanted that one, but I'm not going to pay that kind of money for it nowadays.
Yeah, they can get pretty expensive. Definitely.
Yeah, they are pretty pricey. I just wanted to because since you guys, you talked about the new adventures before, I just wanted to just chime in and give my little, I guess, way of how I got into it. When I first saw the figures, I was like, oh my god, these are the crappiest, ugliest things I've ever seen in my entire life. I just, He-Man with a ponytail, and god, Skeletor looked horrible, and all the mutants looked, I just couldn't take it. So I couldn't understand, I just didn't get the whole concept of He-Man and space at the time.
Right.
So after MYP went off the air and I needed a fix, I was like, I need something. I was like, you know what? Let me give that He-Man in space another try. And I did. I was able to get the whole entire series from a friend of mine. He had them on DVD and I got them. I gave it another try. I went in with a closed mind, and I loved it. I absolutely loved it. I thought it was great. The continuous, from each cartoon, it just continued story. Yeah, to me, it was just well written. Jack Olaster, I think he did a great job.
Mm-hmm.
And now I have almost all the figures except for a few of the variants at the end.
Oh, those are really hard to come by. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I have a few of them. I don't have all of them. I have all of the two packs. I have pretty much all the vehicles in the box.
Oh my God.
Yeah. I went nuts, man. I got Nordor. I just got Starship Eternia 2 weeks ago.
God. Do you have all the parts to that?
It's sealed in a box. Yeah.
Oh. Oh my goodness.
Yeah. Yeah. I went. No doors sealed in the box. I got pretty much all the vehicles. I think I'm just missing Battlebird, I believe. Or if I'm getting that wrong. I'm not sure. I think it is Battlebird. If I'm getting it with the MYP one, I'm not sure. But that's my I just wanted to, chime in on that because you guys both gave your story. But,
were you ever able to get those New Adventures magazines from the UK with all those cool stories that they have?
I was Pavel, he sent me a few of them, but it didn't go through on my computer, so I haven't. I'm sure they're awesome.
Oh yeah, I've read them online. I've read digital versions and. You know, for any naysayers of New Adventures, I always say that this is what you should read as far as the fiction. Like the cartoon, because a lot of the complaints about the cartoon is it's so removed from the Filmation series, and they do nothing to connect it, that, a lot of fans have just, ignored it because it's nothing like the original.
Yeah,
but at least in the UK comics or the UK magazine stories, they give explanations as to why He-Man changed his outfit.
Oh really?
Why his swords changed?
Really?
There's a whole story behind that.
Now let me ask you a question. Now, since you guys read it, is Darius prominent in those stories?
Yes.
Yes.
Darius pretty much takes the place of Master Sebrin.
Yeah, of Master Sebrin.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Oh. So they pretty much fill the same role, but Darius is more active. You know, Master Sebrin kind of sat back. He was the old uncle in the rocking chair kind of character.
Right.
But Darius actually...
He was fighting stuff, right?
Yeah, he was with Hydron and Flipshot when they went to get He-Man. He was
really?
There with them. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, those stories are so much better than the cartoon. The comics and the magazines, yeah, that people enjoy those more than the cartoon. I usually hear that almost all the time.
Absolutely. I'm going to have to start getting those, really. Wow.
You have to read both stories because there's things that happen in the mini comics that don't happen in the UK magazine.
Right. Yeah.
For example, I think the UK magazine is a direct follow-up to the movie. So it refers to events in the movie.
It does?
As taking place before the events of New Adventures. So it connects all of that.
Wow. That's something I got to get into, and I'm sure the fans do too.
And then the Meaning Comics, I think both stories, Joe, you can chime in on this, but I think both stories get rid of Prince Adam.
Yes. That, yeah. Which is what I always preferred and think is so much better, because we said it before with the New Adventures cartoon, the logic of having Prince Adam makes absolutely no sense. It's like, if
right.
Skeletor sees him and like, hey, that's Adam. It's like, wait a second, that's Adam. It's like, oh, coincidentally, here's Adam again, and here's He-Man. It's like, I mean, who is he protecting? Who is this secret identity protecting now? It's like, get rid of the dumb secret identity. But, interesting noise. But now, Brian, you know, you're always talking about, you know, you're collecting everything you have. I guess that would be interesting to bring up something which it is kind of cool for fans somewhat, that right now there's Loyal Subjects has.
Yes.
They have their figures. And beyond getting them online, people have been finding them at Toys R Us and Hot Topic.
Yes.
And there's, I believe, 11 figures, and there's Chase ones, like is Faker 1 in 97 or something?
Yes, I was gonna say that. Yeah, I one of my gremlins told me that the other day, that the Faker Chase figure is 1 in 97 figures. So
that's have you been lucky enough to find one?
Actually, I ordered a box, but it still hasn't arrived yet. So
nothing's been opened. You mean a whole entire sealed case of them?
Yeah. Ooh, Jesus. I ordered a whole box. And I haven't received them yet from Entertainment Earth. So, they said it's supposed to come mid October. So, you know, any day now, I guess. And the people who got a case pretty much have gotten a Faker. So, you know, hopefully the odds are in my favor.
No, I mean, it would be good because he's rare, and I can't remember if Tila is 1 in 48 or if Evelyn's 1 in 48 and one's 1 in 20.
Evelyn is I think they're both pretty rare, actually.
Because one's 1 in 48 and one's 1 in 24, but I can't remember which is which from the females.
I'm going to go by eBay rates. It's probably Evelyn is more because she's more expensive right now. I mean, Faker's going for like, the price tag for him is like $225.
Oh my god.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. But
that's way too much.
It's just
too much. And I know that there's people, you can pop open the box and look to see the weapons, I guess. You can see the weapons inside the box because that's a clear see-through thing, but the figure itself is still covered up. Because apparently people have been trying to see, can they find Faker's weapons? And if they do, bam, you know, they're buying that. But it's crazy for the hunt, because what's cool is to see some form of Masters, you know, merchandise back in stores, and it shows that it's selling like crazy. Everywhere you go, they're selling out. But to find them, you know, that's a pretty hard task, because in my area, going to Toys R Us, every one of the Toys R Us's, at least in the Ohio area where I'm at, they all say, well, that's strange. They're not showing up in our system. I'm like,
really?
Yeah. And I was like, I was like, yeah, but I was like, they're everywhere. I was like, look, I said, can you type on, I don't know, the Toys R Us website?
Right,
and
right.
they type up the Toys R Us, bring it up. And like, oh, these do exist. I'm like, oh, huh. I see some in Michigan and Illinois. I said, why is there nothing here? They said, well, the strange thing is not only they're not in the system, they don't even say they exist in our warehouse. And
wow, that's weird.
Yeah, and I'm mind blown. Yeah, and they're not like how they used to be in the old days, at least my area. Do you remember when you'd go to the store, if they didn't have something, you'd say, is it possible that when you get them, you could give me a call? And they're like, sure, what's your name and number? Nowadays, they don't do that. And I don't know if it's just, again, my area or what. They always say, oh, no, we won't be able to, you know, call you. Just
yeah, no, they don't do that here either.
So I don't know. It's changed. So now it makes it a hard hunt because, you know, you almost feel like you have to keep saying, okay, when do you get your trucks? When are the trucks coming in?
Right.
And they say, oh, they come in Wednesday. You could check Thursday. So you got to keep going, wasting gas money. But
yes.
I've still found absolutely nothing in my area at Toys R Us. And I found nothing at the Hot Topics either. And these are the only place, unless Michael and Brian, do you guys see them at any other stores besides Hot Topic and Toys R Us?
My comic store has them, but let me tell the fans something. I've cracked the code on WWE because my son collects like the certain WWE blind bags and Batman Unlimited and stuff like that. I've cracked the codes on these things and was able to figure out who's who. And these loyal subject boxes, there is absolutely no difference from one to the other. So you have no clue who you're getting until you open that box.
Yeah, unless you're a sneaky person that does it at the store, which it's kind of dirty to do, but that's what I've been hearing people do. They sleep.
Oh,
you know,
yeah.
They open the box. And,
gee, let me tell you, if I go to Toys R Us and find them, I'm going to be doing it.
So hold them open and don't mess around with people and mix and match weapons so they think, hey, I finally got that one. Oops, wrong one. But
yeah, I mean, I got a few from – I got a few from San Diego Comic-Con. I got three. And then unfortunately, I got a broken – well, not broken, but my He-Man is missing a right arm, and I spoke to Loyal Subjects, and supposedly they're going to send me another one. But when I went to my comic store the other day and I saw that they had them, I bought one and I already got a double. I have two Beastmans, Trapjaw, and a He-Man without an arm.
You know, that isn't that bizarre? Now, that's, you know, you bring that up. And again, you know, I wouldn't want people thinking, oh, it's all Loyal Subjects that's, you know, having issues with their figures, because, you know, it's every toy company that can have it. But
yeah, all toy lines have issues.
Right. All of them have issues. It's just, you know, coincidentally, yeah, I've seen so many people say, my Beastman's foot's broken. This figure's missing a weapon. This one's missing an arm. I'm hearing so many just unfortunate stories. But
yeah.
You know, to let them know, just like Brian said, you know, you call up Loyal Subjects, they'll do you right. You know, you let them know.
Oh, yeah, No, without a doubt, Joe. They said, you know, at the time, they said, you must have got it at San Diego. And I said, yeah. They said, no problem. They said, you know, when we I guess they, you know, only made a certain amount for San Diego. And they said, you know, give us like a few months. And when we mass produce them or whatnot, we'll send you another one or an arm. I don't know what they're going to do. But, yeah, no, they're going to do right. I mean, you know, it. What's it called? You know, in today's society, people, especially, you know, these toy marketers, they want good publicity. You know, they want to do right by the customer. It's not like it was back in the day. Oh, you got something broken. Oh, you know, whatever. You know, or you never heard back from them.
But, question, Brian, when you say you got these ones at San Diego Comic Con, I mean, are these variant colors or what was different about the one at San Diego Comic Con? I was just curious because I thought, didn't they make some special exclusives at least, or were they selling them on their website with color variants?
Yes, no. They did make like they did make certain you know, ones that they would come out with, like, you know, every 2 hours or whatever, you know, like glow in the dark, trap jaw or whatever. No, I didn't get. I don't believe I got any of those. I just, you know, they did have blind bag, box or blind box, whatever you want to call them, available. just for the con. And then, you know, now, I guess mid-October or around now, they're hitting the stores and stuff.
Okay, because I feel like I'm cracking up, really, because I figured you and Michael would, you know, probably know more than me, because...
Oh, no.
Well, the reason I'm saying is because I figure maybe, you know, you guys are both keeping up on all the different versions, because since I can't find them at stores, and I definitely wasn't able to afford getting anything at the comic cons, I mean, didn't they also... I keep thinking, I'm picturing in my head that they made two packs or like carded
yes,
ones
did.
Or my nuts. Or
yes, they no, they did make two packs, and they are available on the website. I think they made a Trapjaw and a Beastman two pack and a Stratos and a Man at Arms two pack.
Oh,
I don't know what the difference is. I'm sure it's just a color difference.
Because yeah, that's what was, I guess, getting me and confusing me was that.
Yeah,
and also the thought of, what is this where sometimes I see pictures of He-Man and he has his battle axe, but the ones that are at the stores don't. Was there a version that did sell He-Man with the battle axe? Because you said you got He-Man, but he didn't have the battle axe or something?
I believe he does.
Is it by you? I mean, not to go out of the way and say get it, but could you get it? Because I swear that people – see, I'm trying to defend saying – He-Man's got his battle axe, but then people say he doesn't. So it's like, now I got to find out, is Joe nuts? And if
Hold
there
on.
Is one.
I gotta find him here.
And I thought you'd know, Michael.
He-Man.
No, I actually am the most ignorant one in this group right now when it comes to these.
Okay. Because I thought you collected them too. That's why I was
no.
so lost with this battle
no.
axe thing. I want it to be solved today because I want to tell people I have an answer. Because
I was going to ask you guys, since I'm such a newbie, and I know there's other people out there who are going to be newbies to this too. Like, I've heard about them. I've seen the pictures of them. But for me, it's like, yeah, those aren't. Those are those little... kitty looking things.
They look cool. I mean, the thing is,
they're awesome. They're awesome.
Yeah, the more I see them and the more I'm hearing about them, I'm like, and of course I have my collecting budget, because I have to split it between myself and Joey. So he
collects
all of his Marvel Monster High Storm stuff. So I have to share the budget with somebody.
Skeletor alone, at least get Skeletor, because I think that's the first time we've ever seen Skeletor with a movable jaw, correct? Of any?
Yeah.
I mean, that's talk true. About added cool details. Like, you know, because how many people sometimes think of Skeletor like, you know, doing his cackling laugh and maybe want to open or close.
Open his mouth, sure.
Yeah.
Open it, like, shut it.
So how many figures?
I'm still looking.
There's 11, I think, that they made, and I believe if there's another one, I thought that they had a exclusive Prince Adam. Now, I think Brian would
yes,
know that.
I had that. That
oh,
was,
you got the Prince Adam?
Yes, that was given. That was San Diego Comic Con.
Now he had to be expensive. Go ahead, Mike. I'm sorry.
He's
no.
Available on the website as well. The last time I checked.
Oh, okay.
Now, what's the retail? Because don't they all come in like a box set of at $12.99?
Yeah, the $12.99. Yeah, it's just one figure in a box for $12.99. And the reason I got super excited when I heard everybody said they were at Toys R Us is because, like Tom Ace, my one buddy Tom Ace and Brian's buddy, he said that at the time when he went to go get them, Toys R Us was doing a buy one, get one half off on on all of them. I was like, oh man, I'm going to load up. But. Nothing. Of course.
Wow, I didn't know that. I would have ran to my Toys R Us. Joe, you may be right about that. I don't see an axe anywhere.
Okay, so now I guess that's the next thing that hopefully fans will be able to help out with. What is this He-Man that has the axe then? Is this one of the exclusive ones
he
that
might be he might be the what's it called? The Filmation color variant then?
Was that at San Diego Comic Con then, or no?
It could have been, but I know I ordered it. I'm not sure where. I don't know if it's from Loyal Subjects or Entertainment Earth, but I did order one. I think it was the Filmation version, and maybe he does come with it. I'm not sure.
Okay. See, and I'm wondering how hard it would be, because as we know, you know, the issue with, you know, Super 7 is trying their hardest to get the rights for Princess of Power to do, you know, figures, which I'm sure definitely they're going to get that license. I have no...
Oh, yeah, they're getting it.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And But I wonder if Loyal Subjects, because after seeing, you know, little teeny Tila and little Evelyn, you can, and you know, you're envisioning a little She-Ra. You know, you're envisioning these little characters like that too, but I don't think that loyal subjects can do She-Ra. I mean, do you guys know if they have the...
I don't think they have the rights of, as of yet, but right. I also know that the Thundercats is supposedly coming out this month as well. So,
what, from Loyal Loyal Subjects is getting Thundercats? Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, I mean, it's being advertised on Entertainment Earth that you can buy a box of them. So unless they're wrong, they're doing a Thundercats too, supposedly. So again, that's something pretty cool. I mean, you know, you're going to have them in the same size as the Masters of the Universe.
Yeah, because see, that's what I'm doing. I'm trying to look ahead for as much promotion for Masters and Pop as possible at the stores. That's why I thought it'd be cool if they did get Princess of Power, then at least that's back in the store for some form until, you know, hopefully something good happens with both properties and maybe they can return to retail. But that's why I'm, you know, that's why I keep thinking, what else can we get for Pop? Well, and as for these Loyal Subject Masters, they're selling so well.
Have they
announced if there's another wave? I mean, is there gonna be a wave two, or did
I believe there is. You know, it's just I just think they're a slow moving company right now.
Yeah, and I mean, this wave is just hitting.
I don't think they can keep up with
the demand.
The demand, yeah, exactly. That's the word I'm looking for.
And I like that. I like that they can't keep up with the demand, because then at least it's showing there's interest. And like Michael just said, I mean, shoot, they just popped up. So, you know, everybody's just getting them. Hopefully they keep fulfilling orders. But I keep envisioning more waves than, like, you know, who else are we going to get from the vintage line? Or would they even bring in stuff from, you know, MYP? Like, let's say variants, like, could we get Mossman that looks like, you know, vintage Mossman, then Mossman from MYP, and then...
Yeah, that'd be cool.
Same thing with Zodak. It'd be cool to have two Zodaks. You have vintage Zodak, then you have MYP with the tattoos, but, you know, you wonder if they'd have polls to, you know, which one somebody would prefer or what when doing
that.
Yeah, I mean, I'm sure they're definitely going to move forward with it. I mean, they're selling like hotcakes, man. They can't even keep them on the shelves. You know, it's a no-brainer for them to keep going and trying to get more properties, especially Pop. I mean, you know, Pop and Masters go hand in hand. You know, it's something that they need to do.
It's the rights, though. It's the rights are so convoluted, and they're split off for all sorts of different reasons. And, you know, a lot of people complain, well, why aren't they doing She-Ra? Well, it's because of the legal rights and just trying to sort those out and, you know, get them divvied out. You know,
even if they were, you know, wondering which ones to do, thinking which would be the, I mean, it's a no-brainer. You definitely have to do She-Ra of anything.
Yeah.
And of course, like, you know, the Horde, I know some people, they feel like, well, you know, the Horde can still be Masters and can be Pop. You know how that's, well, it's always been like that. You know how that
right, goes. Yeah.
But it's like you feel like you got to fight to get some of them. You know, I mean, sure. I mean, we got to get some Pop represented, and especially in those little figures. Like I said, I know that they would sell like crazy, because people, we get into the weird and cute stuff. Like, you know, who would have thought that a cute little Masters of the Universe figure would look cool? But as you see, just from what Brian said, they're doing G.I. Joe, they do Turtles, they do Thundercats, they do Transformers, they do it all. And
they do a lot,
like
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, New York Toy Fair will hopefully tell you what the next step's going to be.
And when's that going to be?
February.
February, yeah.
Yeah.
The go-to place for the following year's, you know, toys and stuff like that. So hopefully we get something there.
Because there's so much merchandise. It's like, you know, when they showed the, I think it was Natasa and Catra, like when they showed those bigger, like doll / action figures, like, you know, She-Ra, you know, the one She-Ra figure.
Right.
Yeah. The She-Ra doll. Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. And like I said,
and that She-Ra doll is awesome.
And it is awesome, but that's the thing.
Gosh,
you unfortunately get people that look at things a different way. And Michael knows what I'm talking about, because he remembers how we talked about this as for the dolls growing up. Much as, you know, we wanted them as a kid, it was kind of considered to be a doll thing. So like people might say, oh, well, why are you collecting a doll? And so nowadays you figure, okay, you're past that. Collect anything you want. But I seen on so many pages, I mean, all over the Masters groups, people saying, Well, Shira, it's cool, but she has hair. She looks like a doll. It's like, oh, who cares? It's still a cool looking figure.
Yeah.
It's still cool. So who cares? And so, unfortunately, though, as you see, I don't believe they sold out. And Michael, I thought you knew the stat on it. Like, didn't they have a whole lot of extra stock of that She-Ra figure that they did design with the rooted hair that they didn't sell? So it's like, is that giving them bad thoughts, thinking, oh, nobody's going to buy any other figures? And, you know, it's unfortunate.
Well, not necessarily, because, I mean, there was a lot of confusion about that San Diego Comic-Con doll. You know, a lot of people thought that the only way they could get it is if they were at the show.
Right.
They didn't know that it was going to be made available on MattyCollector.com.
Right.
So a lot of people are like, well, forget it. Plus, it's $75.
Yeah, the other ones won't be that much. You know that Catra wouldn't be that, and Natasa, they would probably be a respectable 35, I'm assuming.
Well, maybe
right.
Maybe Catra would, because she'll have the other Michael. What was it? The other version of a.
Well, you had Filmation. There's basically four versions. You have Filmation Catra,
right?
You have vintage first wave pop Catra.
Okay.
Vintage toy Catra. Then you have Shower Power Catra.
Shower Power, right.
And then the Scratch and Sound one.
Scratch and Sound Catra. So you have those four versions.
But they probably wouldn't have did that. I'm thinking if they did Catra, it would have just been basically Catra, maybe alternate masks, whatever. But She-Ra, you're right. She got the full treatment.
Tons of accessories.
Tons. And it's worth the money. And a cool box. Yeah. And a cool box art and all of that. But
And then a mini comic. She got a mini comic.
Yeah, and a mini comic. So just picture it. Catra and Natasa, when they come out, you know they wouldn't give that overall. So if they were $35, $40, you're right. They would probably sell just as well as anything else. But, you know, people do look at things as prices and say, dang, $75, I don't know. And
buy with that.
Yeah. That's why I haven't gotten She-Ra yet. Because
really?
70, 70, that price tag, I'm a cheapskate when it comes to collecting.
Mike, if I was you, I would hold out.
The big sale, Cyber Monday, sale.
Yeah, exactly.
Not even that. I mean,
exactly.
Because I actually spoke to the representative at Digital River, and they're not sure if Super 7 is going to use them or not. So if Super 7 doesn't have a gigantic, they'll have to sell everything.
I'm sure that, we know we're probably still going to have that Cyber Week and I'll bet you, I guarantee you, they'll have it half off. You'll probably be able to get that thing for $37.50 plus shipping. So you can definitely load up, and you can display her as Adora, as She-Ra, as the other She-Ra. You could, you know, if you wanted to go bonkers. So, but I just, you know, it's sad that I don't know how they look at things, because like you're saying, Mike, you know, I don't know if when they look at the sales of it, and even though there's varying factors of why she didn't sell out, you wonder if in their head they think, it doesn't have that interest, let's not go forward with this line, you know, and that's what sucks is when things like that happen.
I don't think there's been enough time to gauge whether it's been successful or not. Because of the way it was released, you know,
there's a lot of factors. The way she was released, the unknown, you know, that she was going to be sold again on Maddie, the price tag, there's a lot of different factors. I mean, but I got to tell you, get the figure. I mean, she is fantastic. I mean, just everything. I mean, I haven't used any of the other accessories yet. I still have them in the plastic, she's just an awesome figure. I mean, I pose her and play with her all the time. She's awesome.
She's on Matic Collector right now.
Yes,
I'm waiting till that Cyber Monday.
It's gonna happen.
Yeah. And again, if Maddie's supposedly done, you know, December 31st, so they're going to have to sell, you know, all the stock that they have. And remember, every figure that they sell, they have to hold a certain amount for, people who have returns, broken items, whatnot. So you're going to see figures that, you might they, you know, Whiplash and Fisto and, you know, those really hard to get figures might pop up again.
You never know. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. And this is a question to Michael, because I figured you might know this. The thing about that figure is, now that's, isn't it like something, a different entity that's released that made that anyways? I mean, it's not really considered under like how, you know, the Classics brand or something. Is that more Mattel to where possibly, hopefully, if there's interest, couldn't Mattel still sell Catra and Natasa if there's interest? Is that possible, or am I getting this wrong? I thought it was like a different entity. I don't know.
Mattel versus who?
Mattel versus, okay, like how Maddie Collector has their stuff, but then you know how, like, I'm trying to say how I have, you know, to phrase it, because you know how Mattel will do their, they have their one page where they would advertise all their product and figures.
Yeah, I get that.
Okay, thanks.
Well, I think Joe was saying basically how Maddie is Mattel, but it's a separate, kind of like a separate entity.
Yeah, I get you.
So help me out, Michael, before I go nuts. Go ahead.
Well, it's all speculation, but at this point, if the Sander brothers, who are the twin designers, they work on Monster High, and they are the ones that did the She-Ra doll.
Right.
And they're major defenders of the Princess of Power brand. You know, they showed off the Natasa, they showed off the Catra in hopes that there is a future for these dolls. With Maddie Collector gone, it would have to go directly through Mattel.
That's what I meant, because then it could stay with them, since Super 7 is getting, doing all the other stuff, and they still have to try to acquire rights. But I figured, okay, right, it would stay with that. Good. I'm glad you explained what I was trying to say, because my mind about exploded, but I knew you'd have the answer.
Yeah, because basically, if I understand the legalities correctly, Mattel can do the dolls based on the vintage toy property.
Okay.
Where a lot of the issues come in is with the Filmation designs and the Filmation takes on those characters.
Okay, because
so
they could do the figures based on the toys that was made. That's what you're saying, right?
Now, Super 7, on the other hand, they can't do any of it. They can't. Exactly. They can't do the vintage pop. They can't do
Filmation
pop. They can't do any of it. But they are working on
getting those. No doubt they'll get it. And I was going to say, guys, not that I'm trying to cut anything short, I unfortunately have to leave here.
We're going to wrap things up now anyway. So
okay. No, I didn't know if you guys wanted to continue.
It's been a great, kickoff show. And, we talked a lot about, collecting, which is pretty cool. Okay. So Joe, let's you start off with your send-offs.
Like I said, it was a great discussion. And like always, you can go to popculturenetwork.com and HeManWorld.com. Go to Masters of the Universe He-Man She-Ra Ultimate Fan Group. And I guess that's pretty much it. I was just trying to think of the things to say. And the reason I'm going to do my send off now is because I really have to leave. But I just want to say, thanks again. And to everybody out there, have a powerful day.
All right. All right, Michael.
Well, you can catch up on any Princess of Power information that I put out on Celebrating POP on Facebook or on The Last Gate of Etheria.
Awesome.
And my name is Mike Jenkins, and may the power be with you.
All right, guys. Always go to Masters of the Galaxy Facebook page, which this podcast is from. Always go to HeManWorld.com. Check out PopCultureNetwork.com. Go to the all-encompassing Facebook page and the Descendants of Grayskull Facebook page. And rock on, guys. Until next time.
All right, guys, this is Dirt from Pop Culture Network. And just remember, if you'd like to leave a voicemail message for the show, you can always call our 24-hour voicemail line. It's area code 217-953-4025.